CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, this is the time we get together, answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at all the things going on in the world through a perspective of being a Christian. And also, are we following the traditions of men, or are we really following what the Bible says? If you come across something you don't understand the Bible, one of those topics may be of a concern to you, give us a call. That's why we're here, 8888-ASK-CSN. We don't claim to know everything, but we have been through the Bible many times and like to give you a good answer of what that topic would be in the Bible, not just a piece of a verse, but what does the Bible really say about that? And so if you've got a question, hey, please give us a call. That number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. Got some lines open. You're sure to get on. If you call right now, I know you'll enjoy it, and we'll get to your question very quickly today. Joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker on the Weekend Times, we have this with us Scott Parker from Calvary Chapel, Festus, Crystal City, Missouri. I just, there's no place like home. But anyway, I just had to do that. But just outside St. Louis, and reminding everybody, a church alive is worth the drive. And hi, and welcome, Scott.
Hello, Mike. It's great to be with you today here on a Tuesday. And, you know, we don't mind being called Calvary Chapel, Festus, Crystal City. Actually, here in our little area, those two towns, as you drive, you're driving in Festus, and all of a sudden it's a Crystal City city sign limit or city limit, and then it's Festus, and then it's Crystal City. So actually, they call this little area the Twin Cities, and wow. But we don't call our church that because we don't want people thinking we're in Minnesota. Especially now, we don't want them thinking we're in Minnesota. I'll leave that at that. But
okay,
anyhow, so. But if we're in Missouri, so some people call it misery, but it is hot today, but it's great. We've been having great weather, and so God's been good to us. So yeah, so Mike, it's great to be on with you today.
What I always liked about Missouri when I went back there, I worked on a radio station back there, and it's the only place I know you can take a shower, go outside, and you're all wet again.
Yeah, exactly.
The Humus Ditty is amazing there. And so anyway, but I'm glad you're with us and looking forward to answering some questions with you. Hey, before we go to the phones, what you teaching on this Sunday?
Yeah. So this Sunday, we're getting back into the book of Revelation. We took a break. We went through half the book, through chapter 11. So this Sunday, we're starting chapter 12, the second half of the book of Revelation, which means we'll be getting into then the second half of the tribulation period as we're going through that book. And so, and it's interesting, Mike, because, you know, Revelation chapter 12 begins, you know, with the dragon persecuting the woman. And yes. So we've already been studying on Wednesday nights. On Wednesday nights, we're in the book of Daniel. And so we're in Daniel chapter 10 right now. And what we're doing is we're learning about spiritual warfare biblically, because of Daniel chapter 10 there. And so what I've been doing for several weeks is actually doing some studies on the nature of angels, demons, and Satan himself, mm-hmm. so that we can understand what Daniel was experiencing back there when he was praying, and the angel, whether it was Gabriel or another angel, was held up for 21 days as he was, you know, held up and opposed by the prince of Persia. And of course, Michael the archangel had to come and help him. Yeah. So that's what we're doing right now on Wednesday night. So that goes really nice with what we're going into now in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. So that's what we're doing. And we've been having a wonderful time going through God's word. And here, just a few weeks ago, though, we had our one-day men's conference we have every few years. And we were blessed to have a room full of men coming together to worship and to hear God's word. And we were very blessed to have Daryl Strawberry, who is a four-time World Series champion, six-time All-Star, and just a great man who his life was just wrecked with sin and then gave his life to Christ. And now he's preaching the gospel, and he's teaching men how to be men biblically. And so anyway, we were blessed to have him with us just a few weeks ago here. So it's been a very busy, busy season for us ministry-wise, but it's been good. There's no better work than the Lord's work. So anyway,
amen.
So thanks for asking.
Amen. Well, let's go to the phones. We have Chris on the line, Long Beach, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi. How can we help?
Hi. Well, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to tell you I've been listening to CSN pretty much half my life, and your ministry has just done everything for me and my family, and CSN, with all the different preachers on there, I've learned so much, and I just want to give you a great big thank you. And I know it's all for the Lord, but I want to thank you personally.
Well, Chris, God is good, and as I always share with everybody, there's no way any one person could just say, oh, yeah, that it's all of us together. We're all together doing something that individually would be impossible. And, you know, we read in the Bible, Jesus said, marvel not, you're going to do greater things than I did. And I used to read that when I was a young child going, how can you do something greater than Jesus did? Eyes growing out and lame walking and all these things. And then I realized that Jesus was in one place at one time in his earthly ministry when he said that. And, you know, right now, as we are on the air, we're on over 400 and something stations nationally. We're around the world on the internet. We have over 660,000 listeners on the internet on CSN. We have, and I go, wow, God, it's true. It's hard to believe that you and your spirit lives through all of us, and together we're able to do something that we could never do individually. Not even one church could do. This is something we all do together. And I want to say thank you to everybody that listens and everybody that supports us and supports the different pastors that give so freely of their time to teach us God's word as well. This is something we do together. And I don't think there's a better time to really recognize the body of Christ than when somebody like you, Chris, calls in and says, wow, you know, God really touched my life. That was because everybody together did that. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus, and thank all of you, all the tower keepers and all those that give faithfully to CSN and as well to the individual programmers to keep us all on the air. You know, I've shared this before, but our tower rents, just our rent, to rent space on these towers. When you drive around, you look up on top of a mountain or a high building and you see those towers with the red lights that flash at night, we have to rent space on those towers. And our tower rent is $250,000 a month. $250,000. And I told the Lord a long time ago, I said, God, that is such a big responsibility. I have to put that in your hands because I can't even wrap my head around that. Because, you know, all of us are going, well, you know, my house payment, you know, is $1,500 a month or rent, you know, and $250,000 a month rent. Whoa, that's pretty bad. And I just want to say thank you for all of you that keep us on the air, because without you, we can't do it. And so thanks. And we continue to buy and try to expand the range of CSN by buying new stations and building new ones, acquiring them, however we can get them. Because we realize every radio has ears that listen, and that's what we want to reach out to. So, Chris, God bless you and thank you. And, you know, Scott, I thank you for being part of CSN as well.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Mike. And we appreciate so much you giving us a platform, all of us pastors out here who are teaching the Bible, giving us a platform to do that. And you know what? Let me just say this real quick while he's mentioning all that the blessing CSN is. So Mike, it was back in 1998 that I was driving down the road in my car in Southern Ohio. I ran across a radio station where I heard you and Pastor Chuck and
yep.
every day. And I started listening. And there was also praise and worship music that was playing. And I thought, boy, I'm going to listen to this station. Well, what happened was less than a year from there, I left the church I was in. I was in a very hyper charismatic church. you know, that was unbalanced biblically. And I left that church. I went to a Calvary chapel. Now, I've been preaching since I was 17 years old, and I've been an ordained minister since I was 20. And so what happened was I left that church. I went to Calvary Chapel. And when I came to Calvary Chapel, I found my home. And it was there where the Lord then just swung wide the doors of ministry for me, which led me to meeting CSN at a pastor's conference in 2000. The first time I met you, Mike, was in 2000, and it was at the senior pastor's conference at Costa Mesa at the church.
I remember.
And so I'd been, you know, I'd worked in radio back in Ohio as a DJ on a gospel station, on a Christian station. And so I met the fellows there that were manning, you know, the exhibit, the booth for CSN.
Yep.
And they literally gave me an interview right there at that moment and hired me to come here to St. Louis and to build these radio stations here and manage them. And what had happened was just literally a year before that, the Lord had been speaking to my wife's heart and my heart about us leaving where we were at and going and starting a church, planning a church. I never, until about a year before this, I'd never wanted to pastor. I preached in a lot of different churches, and that was kind of my ministry. But the Lord gave me a heart to pastor and called me to plant a church. And it was through CSN coming here to St. Louis to do these radio stations and then starting our church at the same time. When we moved here, we started a Bible study that turned into two Bible studies that turned into our church while we're building radio stations. And so I'm telling you, CSN, number one, has been such a blessing to me personally in my growth in the Lord with all the wonderful Bible teaching and with this program, To Every Man an Answer. And it's been a blessing to me. And the Lord has used CSN to get me where He wants me to be, to do the ministry He's called me to do, which includes this, but also pastor the church. And I give God all the glory for it. And I just tell you what, if it hadn't been for me finding CSN that day, you know, I may not be in this particular spot right now doing what I'm doing. And so anyway, Mike, I just want to say praise God for CSN and the ministry that CSN is to so many people. This radio ministry is so special to me. I listen to it every day. I listen to the station, you know, and here locally, you know, I actually take care of the two stations that are here. I do engineering work and make sure that we stay on the air and do all that. I was just at the tower site the other day pulling weeds and taking care of the air conditioning and the things like that. And it's a joy. It's a joy for me to serve you all and to serve the Lord through serving CSN and to be able to do what we're doing now. It's humbling, and I'm so grateful and just thankful to the Lord for this opportunity. Every time I'm able to be on To Every Man an Answer, every time that our radio program goes out through the weekends over CSN, I am just very humbled and thankful to God for the ministry here. And
what a wonderful thing it is when the body dwells in unity. We get lots of things done. You know,
yes.
So Chris, I want to say thank you for the encouragement. And if you like Stanley, I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow, a little book I wrote about being born again and how to continue in that faith. If you like, if you don't have it, stay online. We'll get one out to you, okay?
Thank you, Mike.
God bless you so much, and thanks so much for the call. Again, 8888 Ask CSN, and we're going to go to Mark in San Diego. Hi, and welcome.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. And I just wanted to express my appreciation for that testimony. I was serving in the Marine Corps back in 2000 in San Diego, and we were in fellowship at Shadow Mountain Church with Dr. David Jeremiah being our pastor there.
Oh, yeah.
And that was after our marriage was saved from a divorce in 99, and I returned to active duty in the Marine Corps, and just one blessing flowed after another. And so over those years, you know, my wife gave birth to our additional children, so we grew our family from 2 to 5, and she just underwent such difficult times with a diagnosis with a major depressive disorder, and it's resulted in multiple hospitalizations for her. Oh, and just a lot of difficulty. And so, you know, what Dr. Jeremiah encouraged me was through his message called The Lonely Spouse. on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And so I've always leaned in on that. And we just celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary, and a week later she left and filed for divorce again. And so I'm just asking for prayer, because I know that God has a blessing in store for me as long as I remain faithful. And one thing that I learned as a United States Marine is semper fidelis means always faithful, first to God, then to the country, and then our Corps and our families. And so I'm just asking that anybody would care to please pray for my wife, pray for our five children, and pray for me to be strong.
You got it, Mark. We will do that. I don't know if you heard me before, but right after the 4th of July, I shared a little thing I wrote. It said, if you can, it was a sign. It said, if you can read this, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank the United States military. And so thank you for your service. And yes, we will pray for you. You know, our bodies don't work right. They're under a curse. That's why we get old and wrinkled and die. And sometimes our arms don't work right, and our fingers don't work right. Sometimes our brain doesn't work right. But I really believe that God is the healer of our bodies. And we certainly, Mark, want to lift up your wife, because there's lots of things that go into us as being a composite human being. Our memories, our input in our life, the things we have been subjected to over the periods of our life, the way we were raised, our affections, those things that we abhor, all these things are part of us. And the problem is sometimes when we don't think right, they get convoluted and we find ourselves acting in ways that really aren't us. And, you know, when you say that she had filed on divorce for you, and this is the seventh time, we know that this is something that she's wrestling with. And so we do want to bring that before the Lord. Your thoughts on this?
That's exactly right. And Mark, again, our hearts go out to you for everything that you're going through. And, you know, what I would say is, if this is the seventh time this has happened, I would say just remain faithful. Remain faithful to the Lord. Trust in Him always. I think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Do not lean onto our own understanding, but acknowledge Him or know Him. And if we do that, then He'll make our path straight in everything that we do. And so, Mark, I just want to encourage you. Number one, just be faithful to the Lord and trust Him. And no matter how your wife responds, as long as you are still married to her, be faithful to her. Be faithful to her. You know, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, for husbands to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. And literally what that means is he tells us there to live with our wives with understanding, to understand them. Now, what you're going through, it's hard to understand. I'm sure it's very difficult. I can't imagine how difficult it is for you to understand what's going on in her mind and her responses and such. And none of us who are hearing this can understand it. But when Peter says to live with our wives in an understanding way, he's literally talking about being patient with them, being loving with them, because he goes on to talk about how women are the more fragile vessel, which simply means that, you know, women are more emotional than men. And for us to be understanding with them and be patient with them and give them room, you know, when it comes to things like emotions and the ways they think and things like that. And it tells us actually to honor them. And how we honor them is we love them. We love them as Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 5, to love them like Christ loved the church. And how is that? That's selflessly and sacrificially. And so I think, you know, if there are, you know, serious mental issues going on and things that she's dealing with like that, it's going to take a lot of patience. It's going to take the fruit of the Spirit in your heart and in your life to be able to be understanding with her. But you know the Lord can do it. And we also believe. We believe in healing. And, you know, the scripture tells us in Isaiah, and Peter actually repeats it where he tells us, that it is by his stripes that we are healed. And so we can pray to that end too, that the Lord would touch her and heal her. And until he does, or if he doesn't, you know, we need to pray for you. So the Lord would just give you that steadfast, loving heart for her to be able to endure, you know, whatever it is you have to go through, especially like this, you know, this being the seventh time now that, hey, I'm going to divorce you. You know, as long as you're married to her, just try to be understanding and be there and just love her like Jesus loves you. And that'd be the greatest advice I could give to you.
Yeah, why don't you pray for Scott, and we'll just agree in prayer, because, you know, I think there's probably a lot of people listening right now that may have a spouse that acts this way. One day they love you and they hug you, and the next day they smack you in the face, and the next day they love you, and the next day they smack you in your face. And, you know, it takes a lot of love to overcome the smacking in the face. It's a little bit like the old Pavlov's dogs, you know. One time they'd call them and they'd feed them, and the next time they would pet them and groom them. And it eventually drove the dogs crazy because they didn't know whether they were going to get beaten or going to get fed. And I believe really our sanity has to be in God, and we have to realize how the devil attacks us and realize that this person that's in front of us is really wrestling with a lot of things in their life. And so for the peace of Jesus to just be upon those people, and if you're one of those people that have to tolerate that, my heart goes out to you. If you're one of those people that you know yourself, you don't know why one day you're full of rage and the next day you're loving and kind, I just want to pray for you too, and we'll do that. Go ahead and pray, Scott. Sure.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, Mike and I, along with all the listeners right now, Father, our heart goes out to Mark and everything he's facing right now. Father, we want to lift his wife up to you. And Father, we don't understand what's going on in her mind, in her heart, Lord, but you do. You know her inside out. And Father, we pray for her right now. Father, that you would deliver her, Lord, from this behavior that she exhibits. We pray, Lord, whether it's something mental, something physiological in her brain, Lord, whether it's a spiritual issue, Father, you know. And Lord, we're asking that you would be merciful to her. We pray you would extend your hand to her in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would put her in her right mind, Lord, where
yes,
she
God.
Could... Where her behavior and her decisions and her actions, Lord, would truly match what it's in her heart. Father, we lift her to you now. We pray that you would touch her. Father, we lift Mark up to you. And Father, we just agree with him, Lord, and we pray for him, Lord, and ask that you would fill him with the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you would fill his heart, Lord, with your love, that he would be able, Lord, not on his own, but out of your resources, depending on you and your strength and your spirit and the fruit that comes from your spirit, to be able to love his wife the way Jesus has loved him. And so, Father, we pray for that. We also pray, Father, that you would just allow him, Lord, to exhibit that fruit of the Spirit, love and patience, Lord, especially, and self-control, Lord, with her. Father, we pray that for him. And Lord, we ask, Father, that you would also give him, Lord, understanding. Father, give to him wisdom. Lord, you said that if we lack it, to ask for it, and you would give it to us liberally. Pour out your wisdom upon Mark, that he would know how to respond to his wife. He would know how to talk to her. He would know how to speak to her, Lord, in a way, Father, that would draw her to him in love, Lord, and not push her away or cause her to respond out of her emotions. Lord, we pray for that for Mark. We lift him up. Father, we also pray for their children, Lord, and just ask, Father, Lord, that you would have your hand upon them, and that, Lord, they also, too, Lord, would be patient, Lord, with their mother, and, Lord, they would just see their dad as an example, Lord, of how to understand her, how to treat her. And so, Lord, we lift this up to you. Father, we know, Lord, that divorce is not your plan. You don't want that. But, Lord, we also pray in this situation for your will to be done,
Yes, God.
Father, whether there's healing in her or not, Father, I pray, Lord, for Mark, Lord, and for his kids, Father, that you would keep them close to you and trusting in you no matter what happens. And Father, I pray that you would help Mark, Lord, to be able to live out Philippians 4, 6, and 7, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, Lord. And as he lifts this to you, Lord, each and every time his heart's overwhelmed, Father, I pray that you would grant to him the peace that passes all understanding that will guard his heart and his mind through Christ Jesus. And Father, amen. We lift him to you and commit him into your hands now in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Mark, our prayers are with you. And if there's anything we can do, please let us know, okay?
Thank you for your prayers. God bless you all.
Mark, our prayers are with you. And again, if you like Stan Lane, it's a little book. Maybe your wife might read it. She might be touched by it. Stay online if you like, and I'll get one of those out to you. And again, if you want to be part of the program today, 8888-ASK-CSN. We have Miriam on the line, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. My question is, the Bible says to pray for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of refers to it as Israel and Judah. Are they the same thing?
Well, yeah, Judah is one of the tribes of Israel. You had 12 tribes, and Judah was one of those tribes. As a matter of fact, that is the tribe that Jesus Christ came through, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so that's why we do that. So the Bible says, I'll bless those that bless thee, speaking of Israel, and I'll curse those that curse thee. And we've always seen this down through the history of time. Now, we're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break because, Miriam, I think for you and a lot of other people, they need to know that. And again, if you want to be part of the program today, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. We're coming up on that break. Don't go away. We're going to have a whole lot more coming up right after this. We'll be right back.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday, 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. Which story will you help write for the next generation? To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon. And we're here with Scott Parker. He's the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Festus, Missouri. I'm in Twin Falls, Idaho. Love to invite you to church this Sunday. Starts at 10 o'clock as we continue to go through God's Word. You know, last Sunday, we studied about Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners. And then the Bible says he'll be like a tree planted. I like that. We're not tumbling in the wind. No, we're planted. And that means there had to be a gardener to plant us. And I want to encourage you today, if you feel like you're blown in the wind, hey, listen, God wants to plant you by rivers of water that you'll bear fruit in your season. And I want to just encourage you because God's got great things for you. We're going to talk more about that this Sunday in person, 10 o'clock, 10:30 on the radio, on all the CSN radio stations, and of course, around the world on the World Wide Web. And so we look forward to meeting you there. And I know Scott would love to say hi to you as well when you show up his church. What's the service times at your church again?
Yeah, through the summer right now, we're having one service at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. And so if any of you are listening on our two stations we have here in St. Louis, or if you're going to be visiting the St. Louis area, please come and see us at Calvary Chapel and Festus at 9:30 a.m. on Sundays.
It's always a blessing to meet our radio audience. And so please do that for me, too. If you're visiting, love to see you. We're just about a mile or so away from the Niagara of the West, the Shoshone Falls. Just follow the signs of Shoshone Falls. You got to come. It'll lead you right to the church. And so anyway, River Christian Fellowship, love to see you here. Again, 10 o'clock in person, 10:30 on the radio as we have worship time and great fellowship. Back to the phones. We had Miriam on the line in Las Vegas asking, is the people of God Israel or Judah? What is it? Well, again, Judah was one of the tribes of Israel. Israel comprised of 12 tribes, and Judah was that special tribe in which Jesus came. Judah, the lion, the tribe of Judah. Your thoughts?
That's exactly right. And yeah, and to understand this, you know, as of like right now, like, okay, who is the nation of Israel? It's literally all of the tribes of Israel. In 722, the Assyrians came in and took Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, captive. So this is important to understand, Mike, as you were saying. You know, there's different names in the Bible for the nation of Israel. They're called the Hebrews, and that name came to be when God had called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. And he's the one in the Bible who is the very first time who is called a Hebrew. And a Hebrew literally means the man from beyond or the one who has crossed over. And he crossed over the Euphrates River and came into the land of Canaan. And then his descendants became known as the Hebrews. And you'll see that in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, while the nation was still one people together. Then we have the name Israelites, and the name Israel and Israelites basically came from Jacob, who was one of the 12 sons. Israel came from Jacob, who then had 12 sons who became the nation of Israel. And so it was Jacob's sons then. So again, Jacob being the grandson of Abraham, and then his name was changed to Israel. So his 12 sons became known as the nation of Israel. But as Mike said, what happened in 722 BC, the Assyrians came and took the northern kingdom of Israel captive. And that northern kingdom was literally called Israel, because what happened was at the death of Solomon, when his son Rehoboam took over, the kingdom split into two. And so the northern kingdom became known as Israel, which had 10 of the tribes located in that area. In the southern kingdom, it became known as Judah. And down in that area, you had two tribes, which was Benjamin and Judah. And so that's how the split happened. And then in 722, the Assyrians come and they take Israel, the northern kingdom, those 10 tribes captive. And what they do is they take them and take most of those people and take them to Assyria and different parts of the world that they had already had captured. And they assimilated in with the people that of those nations. And then they brought people in from other nations into the northern land of Israel, into the northern kingdom. They brought other foreigners in to actually then, marry and cohabitate and become part of of those Israelites who were up there. So really, this is where we get the Sumerians in the area of Samaria, because the city of Samaria in the area of Samaria in northern Israel, that was the capital of northern Israel. And so what's really interesting about that is when those foreigners were brought in, you know, with those Hebrews or those Israelites, what happened was then they assimilated together and became literally, you know, half Israelite and half foreigners. So they become known as the Sumerians. So throughout the Bible, what you'll see is from that point on, you know, the Jews in the southern kingdom and the Sumerians in the northern kingdom did not have good relations because of that, because the Jews looked at them as half-breeds. They looked at them as only half-Jewish, you know, not completely. And so that's how that kind of happened. And so in the southern kingdom, as Mike said, those people, that kingdom was called Judah, and those people became known as the Jews. Okay, so that's what you have with the Hebrews, Israelites, and Jews. But what's interesting is if you read the book of Revelation chapter 7, it tells us that in the tribulation period in the future, what's going to happen is God is going to take 12,000 Israelites out of each one of the tribes of Israel, which it will be a total of 144,000 Jews. During the tribulation, he's going to seal them and use them as Jewish evangelists to spread the gospel, you know, to, especially in Israel, to Israel, and also to the other nations. And so when you read Revelation chapter 7, you'll see the tribes mentioned there. Because some people will call the 10 tribes in the north, they'll call them the lost tribes, because again, they were taken captive and then they were assimilated, you know, with these foreigners. But we see they're not lost to God. They're not lost at all, because in the book of Revelation, we see those tribes in the north mentioned. The only one that's not mentioned is Dan, but the rest of them are mentioned there. And so when it comes to who is the nation of Israel, it's all the Jews, all those who have Jewish blood, all of those who are part of any and all of the tribes of Israel are part of the nation of Israel. And so as God promised, he told through Moses and through the prophets in the Old Testament, many, many different places, if you disobey me, I'm going to scatter you throughout the world. But after I do that, I'm going to bring you back into the land. And that's what we saw in the last century, is we've seen after 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years of Israel being scattered across the world, the Jewish people across the world, God has brought them back. And so that is the modern day, that is the modern state of Israel today. And they are Jews. And don't believe this. Don't believe either. People who will say, well, some of the Jews are Sephardic, which means they're from northern Africa and Spain and that area. And, you know, the others are Ashkenazi, which means they're European and they're not real Jews. No, they are. They have Jewish blood, Jewish DNA, and God has brought them back into the land. So all those ideas about the Jews who are in Israel today are not the Jews of the Bible. They're not the ancient people. They're not descendants from them. That is all not true. And in fact, if you want a good book to read, Dr. Thomas Isis wrote a book called The Case for Zionism, which he goes through that very meticulously and helps us understand that. So there's kind of a rundown of that, Mike.
Amen. So I hope that answers it for you, Miriam.
So we just pray for the Jews in general.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, what is, I believe what has blinded their eyes is pride. The Bible says pride is at the root of every sin. And we find this oftentimes reiterated when they would talk to Jesus. Our father Abraham said, or Moses taught us. It's not what we believe, it's what our fathers believed, you'll find. And so they thought they were born into being right with God, and they weren't. This is what made John the Baptist's ministry so unusual. Because in order to convert to Judaism, you'd renounce your pagan deities, your Astaroths and Baals and all the stuff. And then you would embrace Yahweh as God, your God, and then you'd take a ceremonial washing. John the Baptist came along and said, "You, Jewish nation, you need to take a ceremonial washing." Well, that was really radical, and that's why the Sanhedrin didn't like John the Baptist either. And it's because he was making a statement saying, listen, we didn't inherit our spirituality. We have to come to Christ. We have to come to God like everybody else. Well, they thought they inherited it. And so that spiritual pride, I think, still blinds them today. Well, we're the chosen people of God. And really, there's many people, Chuck Smith used to say, I believe that if Jesus came today, they would crucify him today just like they did then. Why? Because of the pride. Look, we are approaching God through our righteousness. We have Sabbath elevators where you don't, when you get in the elevator on Saturday, the buttons don't do anything. It automatically stops on every floor because by pushing a button, you're working on the Sabbath. And they approach God through their works. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We don't earn our salvation. It has been given to us by God. We're clothed in his righteousness through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Now, remember that, because again, that's what makes us what we are. And so we don't approach God by, look what I did. We approach God by, look what Jesus did for me. And that's what makes the difference. And so, yes, pray for the Jewish people that their eyes would be open, that they would see their need, that their works are not going to save them, and that only Jesus' own dear blood will cover their sins. Miriam, I hope that helps.
Yes, can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Okay. When a person is dying and that they're in a coma,
mm-hmm.
does God at that moment still work with them?
I believe so,
directly?
Yes. I have seen people that have been in comas that we determine that they're not functioning in any way, shape, or form. But actually, in their comatose state, their ears are still working. Their brain is still functioning partly. And so I would in no way not take an opportunity to pray for somebody that was in a coma for salvation or anything else. Because even though their body may be almost lifeless, that doesn't mean their brain and their ears are not functioning as well. And I'm sure you've seen the same thing, Scott, as well.
Yes, exactly. And, I know doctors and nurses will tell us that when people are in comatose states, sometimes that they can hear and things like that. Now, I do know when people are in a coma, boy, their mind is working. We had a gentleman years ago in our church who was in a coma for months. And when he came out of it, he told me, because I asked him, I said, what was it like, you know, being in that? Did you, was your mind working? Did you know anything? And he told me, he said it was like one big dream, like he'd fell asleep and was having one big dream, you know. I remember when my stepfather, was dying and he was in a coma. The nurse came in and told us, you know, said you can talk to him because he can't respond to you, but he can hear you. And so, I think that we always take the advantage because whether they can hear us or not, we don't know, but there are times they can. And I think we always need to take that advantage to do what we can. When we have somebody we love that's in that state, to encourage them, to pray with them, to let them know we love them, that we're there for them, and we don't give up. Until they're in the Lord, in the Lord's hands. So, Mike,
hope that helps, Miriam.
Yes, I used to serve with my husband. We go to church together and everything, but I never asked him, was he saved? Has he accepted the Lord? And mm-hmm. then when they put him in an induced coma, I never got the chance, but I kept telling him, look for God. So that's why I'm asking, does God deal with them at that time if they weren't saved?
I believe God's heart is to bring every person to himself, for God so loved the world. And I believe that God can work and does work in any condition that a human is in, if we're willing to let him do that. And again, just as Scott shared, his friend was very much aware that there was things going on around him. Though his body would not move because of the comatose state, his brain was still functioning. His ears were still hearing. And so I believe God can work through a person in a comatose state or any other matter, as a matter of fact, if we're willing. That's one of the reasons, though, I tell everybody today's the appointed day of salvation. You know, don't wait till, you know, you're in a hospital with tubes going in and out of your arms and they tell you you got a couple hours to live. Hey, every day we live now as a Christian is a day I lay up for myself treasure in heaven. And that's what I want you to do. And a good minister really does everything they can do to equip their congregation to lay up for themselves treasure in heaven. Jesus himself said for us to do this. And so the Bible says even a cup of cold water in his name bears a reward. We sometimes think, oh, we got to do something magnanimous to impress God for a reward. No, just obedience is what God honors. You know, there's a saying that God loves all of us the same. God is no respecter of persons, and that is very true. However, God is a respecter, though, of commitment and obedience. Now, there is a difference. And because of that, there are rewards. And my part of my job as a pastor is to make sure you're going to get as many rewards, all of you that are listening that possibly can, to equip you with God's word so you can give people good answers, that you can dispel their skepticism concerning Christian faith, and that you can give them really what God's word says. And so, Miriam, I hope that helps, dear.
Yes, thank you very much. God bless.
Miriam, stay on the line if you like. I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. I think you'll enjoy it, and good to give away. And if you need more, just let me know. I'll send you more. How's that? So God bless you, Derek. Stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to John, Grand Junction, Colorado. Hi, welcome.
Hey, all right. In one of your commercials, you talk about Cephas as being a prostate I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. he fell away from the faith. Does he have the opportunity to be a prodigal son?
Everybody does.
Can he come back?
Yeah, that's what the whole New Testament is about, actually, is coming back. The danger is if we don't come back. That's what the book of Jude is about. All of this to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered for the saints, to the saints. That's what we want to do as believers. We find all the way through. We remember in the church at Corinth, there was a guy that was carrying on with his stepmother, evidently lipping on her in the service or something. We don't know what it was, but Paul says, don't tolerate this. Put the guy out. Turn him over to Satan. You know, there's a lot of protection in the church. You get outside the church, you know, you really realize you're out there all alone. And we need brothers and sisters. And we find in 2 Corinthians, a guy came back to the Lord and did great. That's what the whole Bible is about. And that's what the prodigal son, just as you mentioned, is about. Your thoughts?
Yes. Now, John, can I ask you this question? when you say Cephas, are you talking about Judas? Because Cephas is Peter.
No, I'm talking about Cephas. When he fell away from, he went back to the world. I think, am I pronouncing that correctly, Cephas? He went back to the world, and he did the things that he was doing.
Yes, I think you're talking about.
He became I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. So
sure, yeah, I believe you're talking about Demas, not Cephas, because Cephas is Peter.
Yeah,
you know, Peter fell away from the Lord when he denied him, as when Jesus was arrested and was going through his passion, his suffering, and the crucifixion. But you're talking about Demas, where Paul was talking to Timothy and said that Demas, having loved this present world, has you know,
departed.
He's departed. He left. And so, yeah, so exactly, that was his choice. And that's why John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 15, 16, he tells us and instructs us, he says, do not love the world or the things of the world. He said, because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, and says that all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But then he says, he who does the will of the Lord abides forever. And so Demas had got to that point in his life, even though he was a ministry partner with Paul, he got to the point where he loved the things of the world more than he loved the Lord, which is something that every Christian needs to guard his own heart and mind against, because the world is constantly pulling on us with its glitter and its glam. And we also, as believers, we have to remember that we have a dual nature, that not only do we have a new nature that's born again, but we still in this body contend with this flesh. That's a word Paul uses in the New Testament to describe this body whenever it's being controlled by our sinful nature that we still possess. And so because of this flesh, the thoughts of our mind and the sinful, lustful desires of our own hearts can lead us astray. And so that's why we need to, as Paul would say in Galatians chapter 5, he says that if we would walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the way to make sure we don't fall in love with the things of the world and we don't allow the desires and the lusts of our sinful nature to get pulled in by the things of the world is to make sure that we're filled with the Holy Spirit every day and that we're walking in the Spirit. That's how Paul says to overcome that. Demas, he turned away. Now, yeah, he could have. I mean, there's no indication at all that there was no hope for him. No, he could have repented of his sin, and turned back to the Lord. But when you read that there, it is very clear, as Mike said, that he departed having loved this present world, which means he did turn into an apostate. He turned not only from Paul, but he turned from Paul because he turned from the Lord. And you know what? That's one of the things you'll see today. Whenever people are walking away from the Lord and getting farther from the Lord, they will stay farther away from their brothers and sisters. They'll stay away from the church. I've always said it this way as a pastor. When it comes to the church, when people start missing, they're like automobiles. When people start missing, that means they're about to quit. And so we got to make sure, that we encourage each other, as the book of Hebrews tells us, to provoke one another and stimulate one another to good works, even the more as we see the day approaching, and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So walking in the Holy Spirit, being close to the Lord in that way, and then being close to one another, brothers and sisters, will help us to not fall in love with the world and depart like Demas did.
Mike. Yeah, and the prodigal son shows that. People yes. say, well, you know, once a son, always a son. I agree. I couldn't agree more. However, what people fail to teach, and they need to, if the son would have died in the pigsty, he would have died in the pigsty and not with his father.
Yeah.
Very clear in the scripture. I'm not taking anything out. I'm not adding anything. It was only when he came to his senses and said, my father's servants are treated better than I am here. I'm going to go home and maybe my dad will take me back. Well, of course, his father took him back, hugged him, came home in his underwear, put a robe on him, put shoes on his feet, put a ring on his finger, giving him authority again. Wow. Just what the Bible says God will do as he waits for us. But God's a perfect gentleman and he waits for us to respond. And that's exactly what he did. But if he would have died in the pigsty, everybody, if he would have died partying down with all his pa's money until he ended up in the pigsty, he wouldn't have been with his dad. And I think that's very important to always remember. John, hope that helps.
So no matter what, I can come back.
Absolutely.
Come back.
Absolutely. The Bible says his arms are wide open. And 1 John says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. We're going to sin. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want us anymore. It doesn't matter if we knew the Lord and we went out and tore it up and everything like that. I know many, many people. And that's when they come back and talk about developing a testimony. Man, I'll tell you, God uses them. God uses all of us. And you don't have to go out and tear it up to have a testimony. I look at all the things that God kept me from because I walked with him all those years. Thankfully, I look at that and I go, wow, God, that's great. So just remember, that God has and stands with his arms wide open. And you know, the Bible says in that story, and one of the things a lot of people miss, it says, and his father saw him a long way off. His dad was looking for him to come home. And God is looking for all of us to come home too. If you're distant from God, please come home to God, for today is the appointed day of salvation. We're all out of time, everyone. John, thanks so much for the call. Stay online if you like. Send you a little book. Todd, call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. And thanks, Scott, for being on today. Look forward to being back with you. And until then, God keep in his love. God bless you. And good night.
357-4226. Or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.